Good morning. Yes, this is on. Thank you. Good morning. Welcome. I guess it's time for hymn sing. And I imagine there's someone out there who's already got a selection ready to go. I see Susan looks like she's ready. Yes, Susan, go ahead. Yeah. Five. 577, God of Grace and God of Glory. And did you have verses you wanted to choose? One and two of 577. Verse 2. Thank you, Susan. And who has our next request? Yes, please. So for 578, 1 and 4. Verse 4. God of love and God of power, make us worthy of this hour. Offering lives if it's thy will, keeping free our spirits still. God of love and God of power,
We have a new hymn learned today. Some of you may know. So we'll be singing that as a closing hymn, but we want to learn that before. Called the Calvary Covers It All.
And it's an insert in your bulletin.
So Diane, if you don't mind, let's play the first verse, so that we can get used to it.
Hmm.
you ready?
Far dearer than all, and the world can impart, was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary was it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there. And Calvary covers it all.
Let's sing the first one again.
How dearer than all that the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with his sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there. And Calvary covers it all.
Maybe have one more song you can sing.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor. And I think we're going to have time. Go ahead, Kathy, ring the bell. We have time for one more song if there's a request. I see Deb's hand. 377 verses 1 and 4 of 377. It is well with my soul. Thank you, everyone. We'll continue with our service.
Thank you. Thank you, Diane. Good morning, and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. It is a gorgeous day outside, and I would understand if you wanted to be outside. Maybe we should go outside and worship today. There is a red pew pad on the end of your pew if you would sign in so that we will know that you were here today. Happy birthdays for Marion, Mike, Bill, Lorreen, Rebecca, Ann, Gary, and Audrey. I hope they celebrate all month long. The January newsletter is available in the Northex. If you want to change the way yours is delivered to you, you just contact the office. The Chosen is resuming play today at 11 o'clock in the Camellia Room. So after our fellowship time, please join us for the next episode of The Chosen. The book club on January 20th at 10 a.m. in the Camellia Room. Are you doing both books, Deb?
No, just the first one.
Jojo Moyse, Someone Else's Shoes?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say, I find it difficult to read one book in a month. I couldn't believe you were doing two. Parents' Night Out. I think we should all join because you're making your own pizza and we're building forts. How many of you built forts when you were kids with blankets and stuff? That was so cool, wasn't it? Have you done it since you were an adult? No. So maybe y'all need to come out to Parents' Night Out and help Deb if she needs it. If you are, we'll stand if you are able. We will do our call to worship this morning. If you will join me by reading the bold. You, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob.
Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us.
Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?
Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation.
Please join in singing the hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. If you're from the hymnal, 133, verses 1 to 3, or from the slides.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lossoni, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
While you're still standing, turn to someone and pass the peace.
tiny one, the baby one?
14 weeks old.
What kind? What is that?
Are you going to greet the people on Zoom?
Turn participants off. Close it in the upper right corner there. Note down on the white rectangle at the right. Close the box. Use the X. Yep, that's the one. Thank you. Good morning. Does anyone have prayer requests? Well, I have a joy that I got to see my grandchildren last week and have a little delayed Christmas and a party with my daughter, so it was fun.
Good morning. just a couple of quick prayer requests. Again, Mackenzie Farmer, my friend that was diagnosed with breast cancer, she's had two chemo treatments now, just beginning, but she took her three girls to her hairstylist and got her hair cut real short because she is going to lose her hair. I think our prayers are working because she does have a nice positive attitude, and the girls, she's trying to keep these young girls going with her, and they want to give her a mohawk when it's time to shave her head. So keep praying, please, for their strength and healing through all this. And then Mark and I are going to be leaving again this week to go up to my mom's for just 2 weeks this time to help her with the final move into assisted living, and she's doing well with it so far. And got to see her favorite child, middle son, came and helped her with that. So her attitude is good, but we appreciate your prayers. Thank you.
I'm glad they're having fun with it. We want to keep Colleen in prayer too, because today is her husband's 70th birthday party, and then she's got a lot of travel. She's going to go help her daughter get through her surgery and recover, and she'll be in Florida for quite a while. But we're very thankful that Diane is here to fill in for us because she does a wonderful job. So thank you, Diane.
Yay, Diane.
And it's good to see Judy Lloyd hopping along in the sanctuary again. That's good.
Thank you.
And Cheryl.
Hi, my name is Pat Shores. This past Sunday was my brother Bill's birthday. I think it was Sunday. Anyway, whatever day it was the 15th. And Allison and I went to see him, and he and Bill and Diane are both in the same adult facility. I don't know exactly what it is, but anyway, care home. Thank you, Deb. And I don't think, Bill seemed perfectly happy there. We happened to get there at lunchtime, which wasn't smart on our part, but Bill was gobbling down his lunch, and I don't think Diane took two bites of hers, but Diane is very upset about being there. She is in denial. She told us that she was going to be home within 3 weeks. I don't think that will happen. But anyway, while we were there, their daughter, Sarah, showed up. And Sarah lives in L.A. and I don't think sees them very often, but she was there. And then shortly after that, Diane's sister showed up. And she lives in Yucaipa. And she was the one that called Allison and told her that they were in this care home or whatever it is. So anyway, I think that if you, any of you remember Bill, you might want to go by and just say hi to him. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, let's welcome our friends on Zoom. We have quite a few this morning joining on Zoom. Good morning to you, Helen. So glad to see you. And good morning to June. We will have the memorial for Joyce at Golden Oaks on the 29th of the month for the resident, and then we'll hold a separate memorial service here at our church in March. We miss her. Good morning to you, Kelly and George. Looks like your beard's growing longer. Very nice. And welcome, Chris. So glad that you are here. And welcome to Carol and Mike on Zoom, Bill and April, David. And welcome to the one on iPad. Always love to have you. And good morning to Alicia and Destiny.
If anyone on Zoom has a prayer request, please unmute and raise your hand.
As we move into our time of prayer, I invite you to join me in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, the busyness of this world crowds our souls and draws out our hearts
away from your presence.
By neglecting our communion with you, our hearts grow calloused and unresponsive to your voice. By your great mercy, heal our hearts of stone and fashion within us hearts of flesh. Restore in us the holy tenderness to desire intimate fellowship with you. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence, and this is our time that we can be completely open unto the Lord and share our concerns with the Lord and ask Him to be involved in specific areas of our lives that we may not be able to share with others. But God knows our need. And He is always near to us. So let's continue our prayers in silence.
Dear Lord Jesus, what a privilege it is to lean unto you, leaning on the everlasting arms that you surround us. What a privilege it is to walk this life journey with you, that we experience your power, your love, your healing, your intimate companionship in the midst of trouble and challenges of life. We can still experience peace that comes from you deep within our soul. We receive the assurance of your presence that works in our lives even during the times that we struggle to see you. We are so grateful for this privilege of having you in our life. So recognizing your presence, your grace upon us and upon our loved ones, we have come and joined our hearts together in celebrating our life in you, O Lord. We always face challenges and problems and troubles before us. But despite of all that, O Lord, we can still celebrate because you are with us. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for this reassurance of your presence in our lives, telling us that we are not alone, but you are always with us, watching over us, guiding our path, providing us with what we need always. So we give you praise and thanksgiving unto you for who you are and what you do for us. So Lord, may we forget about the problem that we face out in the world. May we focus on you and the love that we receive from you, that we may overcome any problems and troubles as we worship you this morning. And we also invite you, Holy Spirit, to come into our hearts, to come into our lives, and manifest your power of comfort, your power of healing unto us. We are weak always. We are very fragile, but oh Lord, you have the power that we can draw upon, and you can heal us that we may be free from any weakness, any disease. So Lord, our hearts are open unto you that you may come in and touch us, empower us, and heal us. As we commit ourselves to you and to your care, Lord, we once more pray that your will be accomplished upon our lives, upon the life of our loved ones, upon this church, this community, and the world today. So now our prayers goes together as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And now our storybook time, Young at Heart, with Deb Davidson.
Today's story is written by Mark Batterson and Summer Batterson Daly, illustrated by Benedetta Capriotti. Big sound, little sound, Where in the world is God's voice found? Can you hear God crashing in the waves? Can you hear him echo in the caves? Do you hear him when a bird chirps or when your sister slurps? Can you hear him on top of a mountain or even at the drinking fountain? Do you hear God's voice when you're feeling sad or perhaps when you're a little mad? God speaks through stars that shoot through the sky. God speaks in whispers as soft as a sigh. Why is God whispering so you barely hear? It's really quite simple. You have to get near. Sort of like grandma who gives you a hug or tucks you in bed all nice and snug. God whispers down deep to the depths of your heart. I've been with you from the very start. God speaks through his word so you know what is right. God speaks in dreams by day and by night. God speaks through nature like a big blue glacier. God speaks through family and friends and so much more, sometimes right in the middle of a chore. Just like waves that speak for the ocean or friends who make quite the commotion. God points the way for you to go. God whispers things you need to know. He says what is true, that you can be you, even in all of your hullabaloo. Late at night, after you close your eyes, and long before it's time to rise, God is present, God is waiting, God is even recreating. So when you wake up to a world that's spinning, jump out of bed, get dressed, start grinning, for God's whisper is in your smile, a smile even bigger than a crocodile. Some days are filled with lots of fun, like running and jumping and playing in the sun. Mom tickles your tummy and makes you wiggle until you let out a great big giggle. But even on days that aren't so good, days when you don't feel heard or understood, your feelings, they matter, even if they're all mixed up like pancake batter. God is speaking, rain or shine. God is loving all the time. Remember that God is still right here, listening to every single prayer. Above all else, know this is true, that God is singing all around you. And what is he saying in that voice still and small? That you, my dear, are his favorite of all. The end. J.D. Walt wrote something that really touched me. He said, I used to think that God didn't speak to me very often, or maybe he didn't have much to say to me. But I've learned over the years that I'm rarely close enough, still enough, and attuned enough to pick up the whisper. God is always whispering, always. And it's my highest calling to draw near him and listen. Amen.
For our next hymn, Pastor Phillips has picked my favorite song, The Spirit Song, number 347, Sing It Out Loud, sing it with feeling and sing it with a prayer.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with his Spirit and his love. Let him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the thing that holds you and his Spirit like a dove. Will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and feel. us, O Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Oh, come and sing this song with gladness, as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to His name. Oh, give Him all your tears and sadness. Give Him all your years of pain. And you'll enter into life in Jesus' name. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill.
Diane, let's sing the verse, the chorus again, and this time say, Jesus, Jesus, come and fill this lamb.
Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill this lamb. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill this lamb.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Jesus cleanses 10 men with a skin disease. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell himself prostrated, himself at Jesus' feet, and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except for this foreigner? And then he said to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Singing that refrain, part of that spirit song, was very good. And I pray that we will have a personal experience of the Holy Spirit filling our hearts and healing our spirit and our soul this morning. 3 retired men went on their annual moose hunt. As soon as they landed in Anchorage in Alaska, they hired a tiny bush plane to fly them deep into the wilderness. Before takeoff, the pilot welcomed them aboard.
gave the safety briefing and added sternly, "This is a very small plane. You can bring back one moose. One." Naturally, the hunters got carried away and shot three. When they hauled the moose back to the airstrip, the pilot turned pale. "I said, one moose." "That's exactly what you said last year," one hunter replied calmly. "But for an extra $100, you let us take all three." He handed over the cash. "So here you go, same deal." The pilot sighed, folded the money, and waved them aboard. A minute after takeoff, the plane crashed spectacularly. As the wreckage smoldered, one hunter crawled out, dazed and bleeding. He looked around and asked, "Where are we?" Another hunter squinted at the twisted metal nearby and the scattered moose bones and muttered, "About several hundred yards from where we crashed last year." People often become desensitized to the importance of safety and rule following. And by the time they realize the risk, it's usually too late, leading to unavoidable consequences. This pattern appears in believers' spiritual lives too. When believers distance themselves from faith communities and neglect spiritual growth, they gradually become numb to God. They stop feeling the need for God and fail to recognize their spiritual brokenness. Over time, this spiritual numbness creates a gap between believers and God. I refer to this condition as spiritual leprosy. The gospel lesson this morning highlights a deep truth about this and provides a powerful way to identify issues in today's believers and churches. Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 offer detailed instructions on leprosy. People, clothing, and homes with leprous signs were examined by priests over 7 days. If symptoms remain, the person was declared unclean and isolated from the community. They had to wear torn clothes, shave their heads, and shout, "Unclean!" Garments were burned, and stones were removed from houses, and the wall was scraped up. Then the stones and debris were thrown outside the city. If the symptoms did not improve, the house was demolished and everything was discarded outside the city. These strict rules of isolation aim to control the disease's spread. Now, considering this text, read verses 11 through 13. Jesus traveled through the area between Samaria and Galilee. Galilee was mainly a Jewish region. Jews avoided Samaritans for various reasons. Samaritans, though Jews, were considered impure by the Jews due to their intermarriage practices. They had different worship practices. Samaritans worshiped on Mount Gerizim, whereas Jews worshiped in Jerusalem. The long-standing hostility between the two groups dates back to the split of Israel after Solomon. The story of the woman at the well in the gospel highlights its hostility. As the Samaritan woman was surprised that Jesus, a Jew, spoke to her, since Jews and Samaritans generally did not interact. As a result of this deep-seated hatred, the border area between Samaria and Galilee became a no man's land. The 10 lepers likely lived in this region. The gospel described them standing far away and crying out loudly, "Jesus, have mercy on us." In Luke's account, the lepers followed strict procedures for isolation outlined in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, which explain why they were there and how they kept their distance from Jesus. Jesus instructed them, "Go, show yourself to the priest." This command aligned perfectly with the Leviticus rules. If and when the lepers were healed, the priest had to examine and declare them clean. Although all 10 were healed, only one returned to thank Jesus. What became of the other 9? The gospel does not specify, but it is easy to infer that they likely ran to the priest to get clearance to rejoin their families after their long isolation. While understandable from a human perspective, Jesus expected them to return and thank him as the one did. Why did Jesus hold this expectation? Was it necessary for the 9 to return to him? The answer lies in Jesus' word to the healed man, "Your faith has made you well." Jesus had already healed all 10. Did Jesus have to pronounce the healing again to the one who returned? Jesus pronounced an additional healing on him that others, those 9, did not get. So what kind of healing was the second one? Leprosy was hardly curable, and living in isolation became the lepers' way of life. Unexpectedly, the 10 lepers were cured of the disease and restored to relationship with loved ones. They thought all they needed was taken care of and underestimated the life of isolation from God. They felt it was natural to continue their lives in isolation from God. But the Samaritan leper who returned to Jesus was reconciled to God and received healing from spiritual leprosy. After all, Jesus is the high priest who can heal and pronounce the cure. And the Samaritan leper did the right thing. What is spiritual leprosy? The gospel lesson illustrated as a life marked by separation from God. Similar to the 9 who were physically healed but remained spiritually afflicted, people might appear healthy but suffer internally because they are distanced from God, much like those lepers were. Those with spiritual leprosy often see isolation as their default way of life. They turn to God only during crisis, crying out in trouble, but quickly withdrawing once the danger passes. Leprosy affects more than skin. It damages nerves. Similarly, believers with spiritual leprosy lose their spiritual sensitivity, feeling numb towards God. They may have strong relationship with loved ones, but neglect their connection with their Creator and Healer, feeling no guilt about this spiritual disconnect. Many believers in the Western Hemisphere seem to suffer from spiritual leprosy. They once were strong in faith, but are disconnected from their church or faith community and neglecting their spiritual growth. Just as physical health depends on regular exercise and good nutrition, spiritual well-being requires ongoing faith practices, and nurturing. Without this maintenance, believers risk losing their connection to God entirely. Once they've fallen into this non-maintenance state, living in spiritual isolation feels so natural that recovering spiritual health becomes as challenging as curing physical leprosy. Let me take one example of spiritual leprosy from churches and believers in former East Germany. The Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther posted the 95 theses on the doors of the Castle Church in Wittenberg in East Germany in 1517. While hiding from the threat, Luther translated the Bible into German. Until then, the Bible was available only in Latin, which educated priests could read, not the lay people. So lay people had little knowledge of the Bible for that reason. They didn't have the access to the Latin Bible, and even if they did, they could not read. This is why the Catholic Church could sell indulgence, telling people that they could reduce the punishment of sin and ultimately save them from damnation. And people could not tell apart if they were telling the biblical truth. After Luther's German translation, an average people in Germany could read and understand the Bible, which became the major driving force of the Reformation. Additionally, Johannes Gutenberg's invention of the movable type printing press, developed half centuries earlier, was very instrumental to spreading the 95 Theses, the German Bible, and much more. You know, they could just print out those Bibles and then distribute. People could read them. It was easily, readily accessible. As a result, the Lutheran Church in Germany grew very rapidly in northern, central, and eastern Germany. And unlike other areas, you know, where the Catholic were predominant, those areas, Catholic became minorities then. And Lutheran churches continued to grow until the first part of the 20th century. See that the powerful presence of the Protestant churches? Guess what happened after that? I mean, they grew up until the beginning of the 20th century. After the World War II, the Soviet Union ruled East Germany and created the German Democratic Republic in 1949 as a communist state. Thanks to when the communists took over, they suppressed the Christian altogether, right? Thanks to the U.S. leadership and countless demonstrations, East Germany collapsed on October 3rd, 1990, after 41 years of religious suppression under the communist regime. Christianity in East Germany was reduced to near spiritual death. Despite the fact that Wittenberg was the cradle of the Reformation and Christianity in East Germany flourished for centuries. on the magazine Christianity Today in the issue of October 2009, they ran an article as follows. Reverend Ulrich Parzani, who succeeded Billy Graham as the main speaker at pro-Christ evangelistic meeting, stated, "I was standing in front of a Berlin church as some young adult passed by. Referring to the giant crucifix over the entrance, one of them asked, 'Who is that guy hanging up there?'" You know, the half of the city of Berlin belonged to the East Germany, right? And there's no doubt that those young men were from East Germany. Europe has experienced numerous reforms and general revival. However, if they do not hold on to God as always, spiritual leprosy is a natural consequence for them. Now it's been 25 years since the Berlin Wall fell, and yet less than 20% of Christians in former East Germany are estimated to remain, possibly even lower. Spiritual leprosy out of isolation from God is contagious. You know, as the leprosy was very contagious, and that's why Moses put a very strict rule of isolation for those who had that disease. Spiritual leprosy is very contagious as well. And has spread among European churches. I pray that U.S. churches remain unaffected by this disease. As a church and individual believers, we must check whether we are infected with this spiritual ailment, harboring stubborn spot where we insist on our way despite what the Bible teaches, and stay away from God of salvation. In Ezekiel 11:19, God declares, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." This is my prayer for us personally and for our churches. Heal us, Lord. Remove the hardened heart. Grant us a new tender heart and bring us back to you and your word. Amen.
Now is the time for our tithes and offerings as we present them to the Lord. And Diane will give us our offertory. You can put your tithe or offering in the plate in the back, or you can mail it to the church office. Thank you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
As we worship you this morning, O Lord Jesus, we acknowledge once more that you are our Redeemer, that you are our Sustainer, that you are our Healer. And thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for sustaining us. Thank you for healing us. Recognizing your grace and mercy upon our lives, we give you this offering of praise and thanksgiving, and ask you to receive it, bless it, that it may be used to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
For those of you who were here for the hymn sing, we practice Calvary Covers It All. It is an insert in your bulletin. And we will sing all four verses?
Three.
Three. First three verses.
One through three.
One through three.
Far dearer than all that the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and strain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. The stripes that he bore, and the thorn that he wore, all this mercy and love evermore. And my heart above thou, as I call on his name, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with his sin and strain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. How matchless the grace, when I look on his face, of this Jesus my crucified Lord. My redemption complete, I then found at his feet, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with his sin and strain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. Let us pray. Lord Jesus,
cover us all with your mercy and your grace, that we may be restored to the very image that you created us. And heal us, Lord, that we may be cured of any spiritual ailment, that we may have a close and open fellowship with you in our daily living. So we ask your healing upon us individually, physically, and spiritually, and also upon your churches as well, that we may once more be the church that you want us to be, proclaiming the good news of salvation to all who need to hear, and sharing that you are with us, you are the risen Christ, that you are the living God, working within us and among us. So, Lord Jesus, send us forth with the blessing of healing upon us and upon your churches. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Lord, he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Now in peace, in faith, and